Slumber Party listeners. It's your host, Tim Murray, and you're listening to and or watching the podcast where I interview drag queens, comedians, and Broadway stars about their slumber party experiences growing up. And of course, it's October. We gotta get witchy in here again. I know we've been craving it. We've been craving to return to the alpha buzz. And honey, do I have a guest in store for you? You know her from, ever heard of Hadestown on Broadway? I'm thinking, yeah. Ever heard of In Transit on Broadway? Ever heard of Alphaba? Because we have such an Alphaba here for you today. And somebody that went to my same college. We got a University of Miami Kane alum. Please welcome to the stage, Marianne Torres.
Hello.
Marianne, thank you so much for doing this. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. How does it feel being on Broadway again?
It feels wild. It was the last thing I expected this year. It kind of came up as a surprise. So it's wild is all I can say. I was just like happy shows were going to reopen. I didn't expect to be in one. So that's really cool. My husband and I, this is wild. Actually, when Hadestown had announced it was reopening September 2nd, I was like, Nick, we got to buy tickets. Like you have, my husband's on tour with Come From Away. So I was like, that's the one show you have to see before you go back on tour. I did not know I was going to be in it. So we bought tickets for opening week. And then
that's crazy.
Here I am. Yeah, it was wild.
Wait, that's so much fun. I love you, like, really put that in the universe.
I mean, I manifested the fuck out of that.
You sure did. You sure did. Okay, first of all, your husband is so hot. And you guys are so cute together. I love looking at your Instagram. I'm always like, oh my God, look at them just like enjoying the fall weather. That's what I often say out loud. Look at that hot couple enjoying the fall weather.
Enjoying those autumnal leaves and yeah we do really like autumn. That's so funny. I was actually just talking about it with him this morning and I was like, oh, it's fucking fall again, you have to come into town, like we have to go on a hike. So yeah, yes. you did. Yeah, this is definitely our brand, is like autumnal hikes. And
you're such cuties. How did you meet?
So he's actually from Miami as well. Oh. And yeah, he was acting in Miami at the time. He'd kind of been back and forth between Miami and New York. And then I went down to Miami to do a production of Murder Ballad at Actors Playhouse. And we just had a bunch of mutual friends. So he had friends that were in the show and he came to see it. And then totally like was obsessed with me and came and saw the show again and again. It's so embarrassing for him. I'm like, oh my God, you had such a crush on me.
He's standing outside with his playbill. Marianne, Marianne. Picture, please. You did your first autumnal photo when he was fangirling you at the stage door.
No, autumn in Miami, please.
Oh, that is so true. Wait, did you grow up in Miami or just go to college?
Did. No, I grew up in Miami.
Oh my God. Where in Miami?
In the suburbs, in Kendall. It's like,
heck yes.
Yeah, not as glamorous. People think if you grow up in Miami, you grew up like, I don't know, somewhere really cool and like going to the, I don't know. Like I grew up in the suburbs, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I went to the Macaroni Grill and did all the suburban shit, you know?
All the same shit people do in the Midwest. Flair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, I was at that Cheesecake Factory in the Grove. That's
right. We just all like spoke with thick Spanish accents, but like we were doing the same things everyone else was in America.
Wait, but do you know, not to embarrass you, but do you know you're kind of a Miami icon? Like, you really are.
Hilarious. Okay,
you are. I mean, there's only so many Miami alum that have, like, first of all, been on Broadway.
Yeah.
Like, went to go on to be, like, you know, big, successful Broadway people. And I think Miami is very well known for putting out, like, really strong actors and continues to do so. And you are obviously a really strong actor, but we got to dive in. The voice. Have you just always been able to sing like that? Like, what on earth, girl?
You know, I don't know. I was kind of a late bloomer. I used to always really like singing when I was a kid, but I was also like painfully shy and socially awkward, which I still am. I just like know how to function now. I never like thought it was special or cool that I could sing. I just thought like everyone can sing. Like I didn't think it was special. I really didn't. And I sounds obnoxious because I'm like, oh, it was just so natural for me. And that's not what I mean, but it's like, it kind of felt easy, so I just figured that everyone can just like do that, right?
Yeah.
I again, like growing up first generation from the like Dominican, nobody like musical theater is not a thing in the Dominican Republic, or like Latin America, really, you know, not so much as it is American. And so that I had never like any exposure or access to that at all. So I just liked to sing, and it wasn't until I got to high school, like my sophomore year of high school, that I was like, maybe I'll try out for the choir so I can make friends because I'm really fucking awkward and shy. And if I'm like in a club, then I can meet people easier. Like if I'm in a small space, I will do better. So then I auditioned for my choir in my sophomore year of high school and was like, oh, okay, I can do this. And then my choir teacher was like kind of the one who was like pushing me to do more. And then I ended up at the University of Miami because my senior year, I didn't know what I wanted to do for college or like with my life. I just thought I would go to the local university, Florida International University, and like study, like, I don't know, business or law or something. And my choir friend was like, I'm going to audition for the musical theater program at the University of Miami. And I literally said, what's that? And she said, you know, like Les Mis and Rent. And I was like, well, that's a cool way to spend years. So then I auditioned for UM and here we are. I'm glad it worked out.
Oh my God. Yeah. I wish every theater program underneath their like, this is our theater program. I wish they all said, you know, like Les Mis and Rent.
Like Les Mis and Rent. And I sang, I dreamed a dream from Les Mis for my audition, which is like a 21-year-old girl singing that song. Like, I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what that song was about.
Oh my God. I love that. Also, I'm I'm very surprised that you were shy. I've only met you in person like a couple of times. Yeah. But it was like always, I think at like a senior showcase or with like our mutual friends, like Xavier Cano or Ariana Hepner or something, like at a bar. And you don't seem shy to me. You seem very, very outgoing. So that's funny that you had that experience.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm getting a thing that says my internet connection is unstable. Hold on. Oh, am I okay? God. Am I like freezing at all or are you getting a good?
It was a little bit, but now you're good.
Okay, good. Yeah, I guess I'm like, what is it? Like an extroverted introvert or something? It really depends on my mood and how you catch me that day. Like, yeah. And I think when I'm with like people I'm comfortable with, then it's definitely different. But like in new environments, like I'm the person at the first day of rehearsal. If there's like a table with like bagels and coffee, I hang out by that table because I want to look busy and like I'm doing something because I get really freaked out by like having to introduce myself to a bunch of new people. So yeah.
Well, I'm the exact same way.
Yeah.
Like I think a lot of people think that a lot of people describe me as very outgoing and very extroverted, but I, for whatever reason, in new situations, especially like I've been teaching improv in rehab centers lately.
That's amazing. Like
it's fucking awesome, Marianne. Like it's the best job I've ever had. It feels incredible. I love, love, love doing it. But part of the job is to like really, you know, I'm not a therapist. I'm an improv teacher, but it is like group therapy. So part of the job is to like really make people feel comfortable and relate to them and make them feel relaxed. Mm-hmm. And the first time I go to a new place, which is often, I'm like freaking out.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do I say to these people? And then by the second or third time, once we've like played a bunch of games and got to know each other, I'm like a completely different person. Mm-hmm. But that first time is like so hard.
I think it's like a touch of imposter syndrome too. There's like a part of you that's like, do I belong here? Do people like, are people going to think I belong here? And then you eventually sort of are like, yes, I do. This is going to be great. And you know, like, I am worthy, or like, belong here and I'm where I'm supposed to be. But I think it takes me a second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I love that we share that, because that's such a fun thing. Mm-hmm. And okay, back to Miami, not to embarrass you again, but I have to tell you, I had a recording. Zach Ortz, my college roommate, had a recording of you in falsettos in college at the Jerry Ring Theater singing I'm Breaking Down that I put on my old school iPod.
Oh, iPods!
I would run the campus loop listening to you, say, before I knew you, listening to you singing I'm Breaking Down. I'm not kidding. It was like in my top five running songs that I would listen to. And I'd be like, one day, I'm going to be friends with this girl. I'm going to meet her. It's going to happen. When you were leaving Miami, were you like, I'm doing the Broadway thing. I've got the voice. I'm going to like, did you know Wicked was going to be in your future? I guess is my big question. Were you like, I'm going in for Elphaba?
Not. Okay. So I kind of left Miami with a lot of self-esteem issues. not going to lie, full transparency. Like, I had a hard time. So I don't know. I didn't really know where I fit. I think also at that time, man, things have changed. We were still at a time in our industry and in our world where like there was an obsession over type. And it was this really interesting thing, because I remember like having these meetings with teachers, you know, like your senior year, you sort of discuss like what your type is. And I remember there was an exercise where it was like, whose career are you sort of looking at as like a guide, you know what I mean? Like, whose career do you want to have? But you know what I mean? Like, you look at those people that you're like, okay, they sort of do what I do.
How do you fit?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was always pushed to just look at other Latinas. So then literally somebody told me, like, you know, look at Rosie Perez's career. What the fuck do I have in common with Rosie Perez? Besides the fact that we're Latin women. Like, right. It just makes no sense. So even like really little things like discussing rent. I am a Maureen. And now 100%. I'm old. Now I'm Maureen's mom. But I, at the time, I'm not a Mimi. Like, that's not who I am. That's not what I do. That's not my voice. But like, I was pushed into like, well, you would play Mimi in Rent. And I was like, but that's not like my skill set. So then I left feeling very confused about what I had to contribute and where I would fit in this business. What's hilarious is that I haven't been in any of the Latin shows on Broadway. That has not been my career at all. Like, I have FOMO. I have like Latin Broadway FOMO, because I don't feel like I'm a part of it. Like, so that's hilarious, because it was such a focal point when I was in college. And then I got here and I was like, nobody's hired me to play a Latina. And like, I actually want to be. I am also like very proud of my culture and I'm Latin as fuck. But I am glad that I have just kind of been cast as a human who has certain skills. I also went to see Wicked, the original cast. It was my junior year? Junior or senior year of college? We went, like, do you remember those trips to New York? I don't know if you did them with your classmates, and you'd come for a weekend and see, like, 25 shows. You, like, wouldn't sleep. You take the 6 a.m.
Spend all your money. Oh, yeah. Your money. Buy the Spring Awakening merch. Exactly. Buy the shirts.
Oh, my God. I have it so embarrassing. When I was just home in Miami, I found a picture frame that said, like, Broadway. And it had, like, all the little marquee signs. And I was like, I guess I thought I was going to put that up in my living room in New York. Like, how embarrassing.
you paid like $100 for from, I found it at the Colony.
Yeah, I think I like bought one of those pictures of Times Square that those people draw on the streets and sell. Like, it was bad. But I saw the original cast of Wicked. I saw it with Xavier Cano and Joshua Henry and Ceci Torres. I don't know if you know her, but she also graduated with me. And we sat like there, about second to last row on the balcony, house left. I'll never forget it. And we got, you know, intermission happened and we're all just like, what? Oh my God. And Xavier turned to me and was like, you're going to do that one day. And I was like, oh, you're kidding. No way. That's too hard. No, I had no idea. I don't know. I think I was just very confused about my ability and where I'd fit. And I was like, well, Idina Menzel's not Hispanic, so like, I'm never going to get to play that role. What's hilarious is that Eden was her standby. Like a Latin woman. You know, but I didn't know. Like, I don't know. So I just, yeah. Long story short, I had no idea that that was in my future. I wasn't really aware of my abilities in a way. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah.
I mean, I fully, so much to unpack about that. I really appreciate you sharing that because
I feel like we have shared trauma.
We really do have shared trauma for sure. Yeah, a lot of what you're saying is really ringing for me in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I just really, I'm sorry that that happened. It's like for you and for so many, I think, people of color, especially who go through theater programs, period,
yeah,
across the country, it's like that is not cool at all to be boxing people in based on their race and making them feel... White people telling other people of color like about where they fit in is fucked up. Like,
yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah.
it's so fucked. And I think in a bigger scale, just like what we've seen on Broadway for 100 years and just until like, I don't know, this last year when we're finally like starting to have a racial reckoning and talking about this stuff is like so messed up. So I'm glad that you're bringing it to light. And I am so glad that you played Elphaba. And I think so many people are so glad that you played Elphaba. And I think there's something to what you're saying as well. Of like, I mean, yeah, you saw Idina and you were like, well, that's a white woman. And yes, Eden was the standby. But like, there's a big conversation happening right now of like, when are we going to get a black woman as Elphaba full time? Like, you know, it's like your point, I think, is like very real of like, if you see yourself represented only as the standby, then that is kind of limiting for you know, young, yeah, Latinx girls and young black girls if that's what they're seeing. So like,
mm-hmm,
I want to see a full-time Latina Elphaba on Broadway and I want to see a full-time black Elphaba on Broadway. There's so much work to be done.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, going even into like my situation, I'm a Latin woman, I'm an immigrant, but like I fully recognize my privilege. Like, I am a light-skinned Latin woman. A lot of people don't know what I am or where I come from. And like, even, you know, I know my experience is not the same as women who have really, or humans who have really had to deal with racial inequality. I'm still on the privileged side of things, you know, and like, yeah. Yeah. And there have been, you know, it's, I feel like, I think Eden said it once somewhere where she was like, you know, I am a palatable person of color to white people. It's that thing of like, I'm still somewhere where people can like kind of pat themselves on the back and be like, I cast a woman whose last name is Torres. And she's like, not Caucasian, but like, we need more African-American and black Latino representation as well.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a whole other can of worms to unpack.
Yeah.
But like, just all, it's always like interesting when, you know, I am referred to as a person of color. Like, I understand that, but I also in that, like, I know I am aware of my privilege and, you know, in the world. And when I go to the Dominican Republic, which is where I'm from and where my family is from, I'm a white woman, you know?
Interesting. Yeah.
It's this weird thing, you know, in the United States, I'm not considered that, but in the Dominican Republic, I am.
Interesting.
But so that's a whole other conversation. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of privilege, we have had the privilege of hearing many different versions of you singing Defy Gravity.
Oh boy. You know, I just like pretend. I know that I'm so cagey and weird about it. Whenever you've messaged me and been like, I'm listening to you sing Defy Gravity, I feel like I just respond with like awkward emojis. I have to say, like, YouTube, the YouTube wicked internet world terrifies me. I will fully admit that I am way too sensitive for that shit, and like I just pretend it doesn't exist because like I don't want to read some troll being like, she's not good at this person and blah blah blah, and I know it doesn't matter, but I just generally, for like my mental health, just kind of like don't even acknowledge those videos. But I'm like, you know, thank you for the compliments. I'm sure they're, I hope they're good. They just terrify me. YouTube like very much scares me.
That makes full sense. Okay, first of all, they are so good. Like I can't even begin to tell you. I'm so glad they exist because I love that I get to experience them all of the time. When I'm washing the dishes, I like have you in my ears, which is so wonderful. But I also fully recognize that, and that's been a common theme with every single Elphaba that I've had on here.
I bet.
And I think it's like, it's like another important thing to talk about, like what the hell is going on the internet? Like why are we subjecting ourselves to this? I've like been going viral on TikTok this last like couple of weeks.
Me.
Let's shift gears here. I've been going viral. But it comes at honestly a price that I don't want to pay is the way I would describe it. And I fully understand that from every Elphaba that's been on here being like, I don't want to see those videos. I don't want to see the, certainly don't want to see the comments on those videos, because like I heard you say like, oh, I know it doesn't matter. We can all say that to ourselves. And yet there's something about like our cave person brains, our survival brains, that negative stuff is the stuff that resonates with us.
Of course. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to believe the compliments, I have to believe the negative ones too. It's what people say about reviews. If I'm going to choose to believe the good reviews, then don't I have to believe the bad ones? And it's not that we're not interested in feedback, because I am. Like I never feel like, I always feel like I can improve, you know? I'm never somebody that's like, well, that's it, I'm done. Like, to the very last moment, I, you know, up to my last performance as Elphaba, I was looking for things to improve upon. So I'm never somebody who's like complacent and just like, I've made it. But like, you just don't want to read mean things about yourself.
No, and that makes full sense.
You just want to defend yourself, and every Elphaba, like I jump to the defensive about every woman who plays Elphaba now in this way that's like very intense, because
if you want to hear why Marianne comes to the defense of every woman who's ever played Elphaba, head on over to the Patreon, baby. We both dive in about why everyone who's played Elphaba is literally a queen. And Marianne gives more like behind the scenes tea about why that is and how hard the role is. And it was just very, very fascinating. She also talks about the amazing women she saw in the show before she got to do the part, because she was a fan of Wicked before she got to be in Wicked. It was all very great, and she's obviously incredible. So come check it out on the Patreon, baby. You'll also be helping to support me and helping to support this pod, and I am so, so grateful for those of you who already do so, and those of you who want to join, I'm grateful for the future joiners. Thanks for listening.
What were your slumber parties like growing up?
Oh, they were loud. That's what I remember about them, is that like I have a very vivid memory of my grandmother knocking on the door and telling us to be quiet. They were very giggly. I have to say, they were like definitely a little like mean girly, which I hate. I think that's like very much a Miami thing. But I definitely had like the one friend in middle school that now I'm like, why was I friends with her? That was just kind of mean. She was like the really pretty popular one. And she would just like tell us what was wrong with us. So she'd be like, your forehead's really flat.
Oh
Speaking of trauma, okay.
So they were a little mean girly and then very, like, you know, giggly and loud. Those are, like, the things I remember about my slumber parties.
That is so, your forehead's really flat.
Yeah, like, I remember somebody gave me a, she gave me a complex about my forehead being too flat, which, like, I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Or, like, my eye, I don't even know. I mean, kids are terrible sometimes to each other.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible. That is wild. What were your, like, what were Little Marianne's, like, movies, like, that you would, or who were your, like, celeb crushes as a kid?
Oh my God, Freddie Prinze Jr. She's All That.
Was a really big fan of that. God.
I don't know if that's a little bit before your time.
Is right in my sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
That movie.
I also just love how she was like a beautiful girl and she just had glasses on and then they took glasses off her and everyone was like, oh!
She's got glasses. And like, ponytail.
Now she's pretty. Yeah, they put
what
her hair down.
Freak.
I'm like, that's how I live every day. Like, I was actually just wearing glasses, but the ring light was on them, so I'd take them off. But I've been thinking about the movie The Craft a lot. Were you into The Craft?
Okay. What a perfect movie to be bringing up right
now. In October.
Now. Go on.
And I have to say, this is so annoying, but like, I think about that movie a lot. Being one of the fates in Hadestown, I kind of channel the really crazy one, the girl with the eyes who's always kind of smiling, but she looks insane.
Ooh.
Do you know who I'm talking about? I have to find a picture of her because she's terrifying. And that's, I think about her face often in Hadestown. Like, I'm always kind of like, that's who I want to be.
I imagine you before you belt. I imagine you and the other women who are with you in a like a circle backstage with a little fire going, these are my gifts. These are all my gifts.
It's her.
Before you
belt. I don't know if you can see her. This.
Firuza Balk.
Yes. Yep.
So terrifying.
So terrifying.
She's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah.
She's
so that's
so
like
good.
How I try to look at Eurydice sometimes.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that movie so much. When I was still living in New York, my friends Jay Johnson and Ben Fankhauser and Mike Milan and I used to play every October we'd play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. And as adults, not slumber party teenagers, like we would go to each other's houses and we were our apartments and we would play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. And when I tell you, we would do it on a chair and people would rise almost up to the ceiling.
No.
With just our fingers. I swear. It was so scary. I know, isn't that bizarre? I don't know what it is about like your energy through your fingers that it's like able to do that, but like full grown men rising all the way up into the sky.
So you too have played Elphaba.
Many times. Many times.
You too have levitated.
I certainly have witchy energy. I love that you brought up The Craft. What a perfect Halloween movie.
Speaking of Halloween, Tim, I have to tell you, I bring it up often. I show it to people often. The best Halloween costume I have ever seen is you as a Stephanie Block YouTube clip. It's actually like popped up on my Facebook memories the other day because I think I had like taken a screenshot of it and like reposted it on my Facebook because I was so obsessed with it. Cause it's everything about it. It's like the search thing. And then the videos that come up on the side, there's like one that's just like belt and they're literal belts. It's really incredible. And I'm obsessed with it. And I have been for years. I show it to people just at random. I'm like,
oh my God,
this Halloween costume. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was definitely my favorite of all time. I also, a lot of people don't know this part of it, but I was wearing short booty shorts. So my leg was very exposed. And then I had giant boots on because I was a boot leg.
It's so good. It just gets better.
I went to a huge Halloween warehouse party where they were doing like a costume contest, and they picked the 20 best costumes there, and nobody picked. I wasn't top 20.
I would have burned that shit to the ground. I'm sorry. I'm furious.
I was like, competition isn't real. This is stupid. I know this is the best costume I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
It really, oh my God. That, thank you for saying that. That really was, a comedian friend of mine recently said, that seals your legacy. That mm-hmm. will be your legacy. Like when you die, people will be talking about that Halloween costume.
Also, I'm just, you know, we're just going to give you props because you deserve them. The game, the Fiero game video. What was that game called? I forget.
There was like a cootie catcher or like future teller. People mm-hmm. call it different things.
But when you're like, Nessa, it's so good. And then you see the Fiero and then it's so good. That also came up on my Facebook memories.
I forgot about that one. I need to repost
you need to repost it. It's so good. It's the Fiero, the anticipation and then the excitement. Oh,
so stupid. Oh, thank you so much. You know, vice versa. I don't know what I'm gonna be for Halloween this year, and it's really stressing me out.
I'm sure. I mean, the pressure's on.
The pressure is really on. Yeah. My other favorite one, I think, was two or three years ago. I went as Michelle Branch, and I had a t-shirt on with a tree that I had designed, that I had like had printed out with Michelle Kwan, Michelle Obama, Michelle Williams, a bunch of different Michelles, and then a bunch of tree branches that I collected. So I was Michelle Branch.
That's, yeah.
And that was my other like really favorite one, honestly. But
yeah,
I don't know what I'm gonna do this year, and it's really stressing me out.
What do you do when you've peaked? Like, was that it?
Is it all downhill from here? I'm thinking probably yeah. I'm thinking almost certainly yes. Do you remember any of your? Oh, we said your first crush was like Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, also Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell.
No one has ever said that on this podcast. Yeah. To this day, blondes don't really do it for me in general.
Me neither.
But something about him, maybe because he was the peak and it's like, you're never going to be Zach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never really been. So he's not generally my type. Like, you know, my husband is like dark and brooding and like has like a shaved head. But I had such a crush on Zach Morris. I was also just hardcore, really into Saved by the Bell. Do you know what's hilarious? Like, watch Saved by the Bell now. Oh, it's so funny.
Is it terrible?
It's so bad. And it's so funny. You know, perhaps have a drink or or other activities.
Substances.
Yeah. Other substances that make you giggle and make you hungry. and watch Saved by the Bell. Oh, it's so bad. It's so good. Oh my God. Yeah.
Girl, my whole aesthetic in this life, like everything that brings me joy is that theme palette from Saved by the Bell. The yellow squiggly lines, the purples, the turquoise, the pink. Just like, that's what I want my apartment to look like.
Oh God, that's very like, also like old Miami art deco vibe.
Yes, yes, that's exactly. That is probably why I wanted to go to Miami so bad. Yes, I want a neon palm tree. I want like early 90s fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. We have to wrap up soon, but before we go, we play a game that I like to call Excuse me. Wait, let's have fun.
Okay. I hate you.
So I'm going to give you a couple slumber party games for Wait, Let's Have Fun.
Okay.
This isn't so much a game, but this one, but I was apparently in a really dark Black Mirror kind of place this morning when I created this for this Would You Rather for you.
Okay.
Would you rather never be able to belt again or never be able to act again? So if you choose never act again, you literally like can't be in a play. You could go do concerts. But even when you're doing the concert, you can't act the song out. You have to stand there and sing. No emotions.
Oh, or, God.
I know. Or if you choose sing and never sing again, you can like still do plays and stuff, but you literally, you can't even sing in the shower or sing on a road trip or anything.
How dare you? This is,
I know,
terrible.
This is hard.
No, I'm really, really stressed out because there's a part of me that's like, God, it'd be really nice to like not worry about my voice. Like there is a part of me that's like, it'd be really cool to not like wake up and not have to be like every fucking day of my life.
Yeah.
I think that's what the last 18 months were like, you know, just not to sing. Not having to sing, it's obviously a joy, but when you do it for work, it like becomes stressful. But then
so
not
stressful,
acting.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can also answer this however you want. There's no.
I know.
You can be like,
I take things really seriously, and I like to follow rules. And I'm like, I have to answer it. I've committed to this. Oh my God! You know, I'm gonna say act, just because I've been singing my whole life, and like not my whole life, but it's like kind of what brought me into this. So I can't imagine not doing it. And I guess I could still have a career like recording things. I do enjoy performing in a play, like doing concerts, standalone concerts is not my favorite, to be honest. I always prefer like being in a play and telling a story. So I don't know, I guess I'm going to say belting. I'm going to say I'd rather never act again, but I don't really mean it.
Okay, great. It is interesting, what you said about like singing, just bringing you into this, I think is so cool. Singing is like also so therapeutic.
It is. Like, it is. I can't like perform a monologue for myself to like unwind. You know what I mean?
Right. But if you're like belting in the shower, it's really like, and I realized recently, I follow, when I do the improv for recovery stuff, I follow a lot of people who do breath work. Mm. And I was like, oh, singing is breathing.
Yep.
Like, you're like breathing so much in and then letting, it's the similar to like, but to music. Like that's why it feels so freaking good.
Yeah, I have to say, I think the singing, I'd have to stick with the singing because it's like more therapeutic. I think it feels more like,
yeah,
where I sort of like can release a lot. So
I would pick the same.
Yeah.
I would pick the same. Cause like, I mean, I'm the biggest acting nerd on the planet. I freaking love acting. Like late at night, what am I doing? I'm watching Sandra Oh monologues from Grey's Anatomy and just like watching that over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I'm also watching Hufflepuff videos. So I don't know. I'm also a huge singing nerd.
You contain multitudes.
I contain multitudes. You know what? Fuck this question. That was a terrible question. We get to keep both.
Yeah.
So who cares? Okay. Now I have a Mary F. Kill for you. Now,
oh, I love these.
I had one planned for you already, and now I'm going to change it.
Oh, God.
I had one planned for you, but I'm going to, based on our conversation, I want to switch it up a little bit. Okay. Mary F. Kill. Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Prinze Jr., and She's All That.
Mm-hmm.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. in I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I don't remember Freddie Prinze Jr. and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay, you got to rewatch that movie, first of all. It's October. It's time for you.
I know. It's been so long.
So good.
I know. It's been a very long time. So I feel like I can't answer the, can you give me a last one? Another one?
Yes.
And I feel like
yes.
I can't answer the question honestly, Tim. And I'd really like to, you know.
And you know what? It's not fair to give you two Freddies. So let's do Zach and Saved by the Bell, Freddie Prinze Jr. and She's All That, and Ryan Phillippe and Cruel Intentions.
Mm.
Do you know that movie?
Yes, of course. That's probably another slumber party movie for me. Did you see the musical when it was here? Were you in New York?
I didn't see it in New York, but I was in Edinburgh, mm-hmm. Scotland, and they did it at the Fringe Festival, and so I got to see it there.
It was so much fun. I had a bunch of friends in it, and they were like, get really drunk and come see it. I thought the song choices were brilliant for it.
So good. Every song that came on, I was like, well, yes! This is my favorite song.
I know.
This is my favorite song.
Okay. I marry Freddie Prinze Jr. in She's All That.
Okay.
I think I F Zach Morris because he's like kind of a douche, but he's cute. So I would just like, you know, do that and then be like, okay, bye. Mm-hmm. And then I think I'd have to kill Ryan Phillippe in Cruel Intentions because he just seems like a little douchey, little pretentious little shit. I don't know. I know he comes around at the end, but even then, I'm just not sold on him. I was never really sold on him.
Yeah. Actually, there's kind of the theme for the 90s. They were all kind of douchey, pretentious.
They were douchebags. Yeah, they were little assholes. Yeah.
Freddie Prinze's character, and She's All That, is like such a gross. I mean, it's so gross that they did that to her. And Zach Morris was also like a little
a douche. They all suck. I think I just like, if I have to spend the rest of my life with one, I guess like I was really into Freddie Prinze Jr. Like I was really very much. So I think I'd have to spend my life with Freddie Prinze.
Yeah, you gotta do it. That's so funny. He's one of like the top three like heartthrobs that never did it for me.
Really?
Freddie Prinze, we'd be friends. We'd be friends in middle school because we wouldn't be fighting over the same boys.
Yeah.
He never did it for me. I don't know why. I just, Ryan Phillippe really did it for me, though. He was really like, I think there was something about the bad boy energy. Freddie Prinze seems like a good boy at heart.
Yeah, and I think that makes me feel safe.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah. Okay, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank Where can the people follow you if you want them to follow you on the internet? And if not, that's okay too.
I'm no longer on Twitter because I find it horrifying. But I am on Instagram. And oh, there's my dog. I don't post that much on Instagram, but I'm there. And this is the worst plug in the world. I'm like, I guess if you occasionally want to see some pictures of me and my dog and my husband and maybe sometimes what I'm doing. But yeah, Instagram. Yeah.
Heck yes. Hit on Instagram. And I also am not on Twitter. My account was deactivated because I tweeted gay bartenders talking shit on their coworkers and then a clip of She's always late for everything except for every meal. How to solve a problem like Maria.
Yeah.
And Twitter decided it was a violated copyright law. So they deactivated my account. But I will say I'm so much happier being off of it. It's been like almost 3 months now. And yeah. I don't have random people on the internet replying to my tweets saying I'm not funny or that I'm ugly. And I'm like, oh God. This feels... So much better to not have that every day.
Yeah, to not like be, harassed and yelled at.
Harassed by fucking strangers.
By strangers who are like probably, I like to picture these people just like in their mom's basement, like eating Doritos.
It's that.
And drinking Mountain Dew. And they're just miserable.
They're not well. Doing my job now has been actually really healing for that kind of stuff because I see people who are like really going through it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's so easy for you to lash out on other people, especially on a keyboard when you don't have people. And when you're like, so I'm trying to tell myself to take pity on these people because obviously anyone saying that's shit to you on the internet is like, they're going through their own thing. But it's also like, we don't have to take it on. No. We don't have to read that stuff.
No.
So... Yeah, I highly recommend just getting rid of your Twitter as well. I think it feels great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
Thank you so, so, so much. And I hope I can see you in person very soon.
Yeah. Are you in LA or in New York? You're in LA, right?
I'm in LA, but my boyfriend just got Aladdin on Broadway, so I will be back a ton.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yay.
Yeah, it's his Broadway debut. It's so exciting.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing it. Uh-huh. And I'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye. Bye.